So today's message, moving on, is entitled, Jesus Build This House. Jesus Build This House. Now, how many of you guys consider yourself pretty handy? You guys can build things. Only my brother right here is being shy. He's handy. Anybody else? Tony? Irene, she's nodding her head no. She's like, meh. No, Tony, yeah, okay, brother Tony, thank you. Sometimes, Irene. Depends on what it is, okay. Anybody else consider them pretty handy? All right. Jenny? All right. Anybody else? I consider myself pretty handy. Like, but I'm slow, though. Like, I'm real slow. Like, I would, if it was contract work, I would die. Like, my family would be starving because I'm not a good, I'm too methodical. I measure and I don't even know, like, what my problem is. We were doing some work at my house yesterday and then Brother Stephen came out, bless us for a little bit, and Brother Stephen was finished like five things, and me and my dad had done two. And he's like, "Hey, dude, that dude worked fast," like in Spanish, you know. He's like, "Hey, that guy's good." He's like, "Yeah, he's a brother from church." So, but yeah, I'm slow. But listen, whether you consider yourself handy or not, we are all building something, right? You're a builder, whether you acknowledge it or not. Like, you know, the question was, are you handy? But you're building something, right? Even every part of our life, you're building. You know. When you're learning as a kid, when you're going to school, you're building your skills, you're building you're just, whether you want to say it or not, we're all building something. And then as we get older, right, we want to build on our career, we want to build healthy relationships, we want to build, right, we have families, we want to build healthy families, right? And so it's important because God is a God of order. And he tells us and he says, listen, if you're going to build something, you better make sure that you don't forget the most important part of what you're building. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're going to learn about today, because ultimately, for us, we want Jesus to build our lives, and we want Jesus to help us build this house. But before I go on, you know, you guys all heard, I'm self-professed nerd. I love, when I put a message together, I always like to look at the maps, I look at the pictures, I get like, oh, look at that picture, oh, look at that, that's archaeology. Like, I enjoy it, because it helps me to understand. How many of you guys are visual learners? A lot of you guys, right? So it's important to kind of visualize it and see it. Some of us are more hands-on, right? So I would say we have different ways of learning. But for today, we're going to talk about how Jesus wants us to build our house. So I'm going to refer to something that was built back in the Old Testament time that was very important. And it's what I'm going to talk about as part of the introduction to the sermon is when King Solomon built the first temple. You guys remember that? You guys know who King Solomon is? Who is he? He's who? King David's son. That's right. Remember, David was planning in 1 Kings that he wanted to be the one to build the house, right? He wanted to build the temple because they had been in the tabernacle for a long time. Where was it? How's that? We covered it 2 weeks ago. It was in a place called Sai. Oh, my wife's like, I thought I was in service. Don't pick on me. There you go. That's right. That's right. So it was there for over 300, almost 400 years. You guys remember that? So the tabernacle was housed there, and they wanted to have a permanent place for it to be. So what we learn in 1 Kings is that Solomon is actually the one that builds the temple, right? And so let's cover. It took seven, so the construction of it started in 957 BC, right? It took 7 years to build the temple. 7 years, imagine that? That's a long time. So I know when we built our house, it took us like 18 months, so it could have been worse, babe. We weren't living here at the time, though, so we had more time. So, but it took 7 years to build, and to build the temple, they had, how many workers do you think they had? How many laborers do you guys think they had building that temple? Take a guess. 1,000? That's pretty. How many? 5,000. More. 10,000. Now there's 100,000. Now you're too high. There's 70,000 workers building the temple. 70,000 workers. Can you imagine that? That's a lot of people working on the temple, right? Yeah. They had 8,000 stone cutters, right? Because, I mean, I don't know. we were moving the, we couldn't lift one thing. I was like, imagine lifting those heavy stones. We're like, how did they do it? You know? So they had 8,000 stone cutters, 3,600 supervisors. Don't forget about the supervisors. You need, they're in the Bible too. Pray for them. If you have a good one, pray for them. You got a bad one, pray for more. Amen. They had skilled craftsmen, right? People who were forming things out of bronze and iron, marble, precious stones. So it was a big production, right? 7 years. 70,000 people. 3,600 supervisors, right? Now, that's just the manpower. Let's talk about the materials. There was a lot of resources provided from Lebanon, right? The cedar wood for the columns and the paneling that was there. And then also the inner sanctuary, right? So, Stephen, can you put up the one image that I have there? This is a cool little infographic that gives you a visual, because I said earlier, some of you guys are visual learners. This is what the layout of the temple was, King Solomon's temple, right? And you can kind of see where the different altars were. Like, this is the altar, burnt offering altar. This is a place where they would wash their hands. This is where they would actually wash, like, the parts that they were of the animal they were sacrificing before they burned it. And then in here, right, you had the holy room, right, where, and then over here you have, you can't kind of see it, but they have this is the veil that was torn. You guys remember that? It was a purple and blue cloth. And then back here is the Ark of the Covenant between two golden cherubim, those big old statues. So that's kind of gives you an idea what the temple looked like. It's a pretty massive project, you can see. Now, let's talk about how much it cost to build it, right? Because at the same time, right, if you want to build something, you got to weigh the cost, right? So just in gold and silver alone, if you go back to 1 Chronicles 22:14, David says, I've taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron that are too great to even be weighed. If you translate that into today's time, that 100,000 talents of gold is about 3,750 tons of gold. Did you hear me? 3,750 tons of gold. That's a lot of gold. How much does your average car weigh? About a ton and a half? No, how about the half-ton little pickup trucks, right? Is that what they... Right? So multiply that. That's how much gold they put into this building. Right? The temple. That's a lot of gold. Silver was about 37,500 tons, right? Now, if you do the math, based on what those things are worth today, gold is about $2,000 an ounce. Silver is about $25 an ounce. So just in gold alone, you had about $240 billion. That's a lot of money. And in silver, it was about $30 billion. So about $27 billion to build this. Okay? I mean, it was God's temple. It's a big deal, right? But here's the deal. Did this thing last forever? No, it didn't, huh? Can you imagine? This is why when about 400 years later, when Nebuchadnezzar was ruling over, he was a king of Babylon, and they came in and they destroyed this whole thing, right? Can you imagine seeing that? Number one, it would have been devastating. But we have hindsight to know that, listen, God was building up this temple, but we have the promise of the new covenant, right? That God comes to live where? Inside of us. Right? This is where Jesus comes in. He makes all things new. And so, there was this extravagant temple, and then there was a second temple that was built, obviously, when it was rebuilt. And that one was torn down again, right? But what we're talking about today is that God is asking us to build things, but not to kingdom build, not to build and seek out things. God is asking us today to build something that is more important, to build something that has eternal value. Because I just showed you guys that all of the work and the effort that went into building this, 70,000 workers and 3,600 supervisors and, you know, thousands of tons of gold and silver, at the end of the day, it's not going anywhere. Something does go somewhere forever. What is it? It's our souls, right? It's us. It's people. And you guys will hear me say that. People matter the most, right? So what we're going to learn about today is what God wants us to do and how He wants us to build and how He invites us to be a part of that. Amen? I know, it's like a little history lesson. You're like, I didn't come to church to go to the History Channel, Pastor. I could have turned on the TV at home to watch that. Okay, fine. But I just like to geek out. I think hopefully you guys will take a little bit of it. It's like, oh, that's kind of, I didn't know that, right? Because we always want to provide a little bit of context to what we're teaching. Amen? All right. Afterwards, if you find this absolutely boring, come talk to me. I'll pray for you. No, sometimes you always say you get up here, you give a message. Sometimes it's like, we all receive, sometimes not. But we're doing God's work. Amen? All right. We're going to be reading out of 1 Peter. And we're going to be in chapter 2. So you're going to turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to see what Peter has to say to us about building upon Jesus. Let me know if you are there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And it says, "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.' Now you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, it is a stone that the builders rejected. It now has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Amen? Man, that's awesome. We just close in prayer. I could read that again. That'll be good. Right? We're like, that's not a bad idea. I'm tired, Pastor. No, let's break it down. Isn't God good, though? His word, like, I just love to get in the words. Like, oh, man, just go slow, right? Sometimes we go too fast. It's like when you're hungry, right? And sometimes you're like starving and you eat it and you're like, I didn't even enjoy it. When you read the word, take some time to slow down. Enjoy it, right? It's God's word is good. All right. So the first point from today's passage and what we're going to learn about is that God is building a spiritual house. That God is building a spiritual house. See, I showed you guys earlier in the introduction that Solomon, he had built the temple, right, which is supposed to be the house of God. But now it's flipped. Now God is building the spiritual house. And we're going to learn more about what it has to say. Because in verses 4 and 5, right, it says, "As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious by Him, you also are like living stones that are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." Now, who's the stone that was rejected by humans? You guys know who that is? It's Jesus, right? He was rejected by humans. In fact, he was put on the cross. And so what Peter is telling us is that we're being built up, and it even says that in the scripture, is that we're being built up into a spiritual house. Now, if you're being built up to be a spiritual house, like the same way that the temple was used, right, we have a purpose as well. If God is building you up for a spiritual house, that means what? Somebody needs to come and live in there. Who needs to come and live in there? Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit needs to come in. So we're invited. I think that's the other thing is that we, listen, the thing that is so unique about the Christian faith is that in no other religion that you study will you find that God Himself comes to reside within you. Look it up. Take a comparative theology class if you want to at Azusa Pacific or FPU. You will not find it. That's what's so unique and awesome about the Christian faith is that God, it's not the God out there. It's the God that cares, that He comes down. But He's also saying, He's like, you need to build a spiritual house because somebody needs to come and live in there. Right? The Spirit of the living God comes to reside within us. Amen? And that's awesome. So God is building a spiritual house within every one of us. Now, what's interesting as well is that it says, what? We're, another thing, right? Is, can you build a house with just one stone? No, right? We all know, we're going to get into a little bit more, that Jesus is the cornerstone, right? But you need more than one stone to build a house. Otherwise, you have a cornerstone and another rock on top of it. I don't know, that's not a house. You could try it. It was like, oh, that's my house right there. Right? Now, sometimes, don't we try to do life that way? Don't we try to feel like, well, I got Jesus, and He's enough. Yes, He is enough. But guess what? God has called you into community as well. And so you're now, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're a living stone, right? You're with Jesus Christ as your cornerstone, and now it's just you and Jesus, and you're just standing there. This is me. I'm being Jesus' stone. That's cool and all, right? Man, praise God. Number one, you got salvation? Awesome. You punch your ticket to heaven. It's not even about that, right? It's about knowing who God is and having Him come and reside within our hearts. But you need more than one stone to build a house. What do you need? You need fellowship. You need brothers and sisters to help build it with you, right? When Peter's writing this, he's not writing it just to one person. He's writing it to a people, right? Like the people that are in this room, maybe. So we need more than just one rock to build a spiritual house as well. The thing is that you were never meant to live your faith in isolation. God's plan for us is to live in community. We need each other, right? For the highs and the lows. Because when you're on the mountain, we want to celebrate with you. When you're in the valley, we want to be there to walk alongside you. And so that's why we need each other. The other thing that we have to do is that we have to understand that takes moving us out of our comfort zone. It takes moving out of your comfort zone. Because a lot of times it's like if you're having like a terrible day or whatever's going on in your life, isn't it just easy sometimes just to say like, I don't really want to talk to nobody. I want to be by myself. That ever happen? I want to talk to nobody. In fact, nobody talked to me. I had a bad day. That sound familiar? Right? Yeah, I see a lot of head nods. It's true. But listen, that's when I always say we have to get out of our feelings a little bit and then get back to being part of the body. We don't do well in isolation. We're not meant to be alone. We're meant to walk alongside each other. And so that means that we have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Ooh. Nobody likes that, huh? Who likes to feel vulnerable? It makes you feel uncomfortable, right? It's like, I'd rather just stay here. Me and Jesus. Me, I'm just my rock. Me and Jesus, we're good. We can't build like that, right? Here's the thing. Because if we're not vulnerable with each other, right, it's like we're fronting. I'm good. Praise God. How are you? Oh, good. Praise God. Right? No, but what we want to know is, how are you doing really, right? Like, seriously. Like, take the mask off. Because if you're not being real with anybody, you don't have brothers or sisters like that in your life, there's no growth out of that. We're here to encourage each other, right? In men's ministry, we say what? Iron sharpens iron. I mean, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to make you a better version of yourself as a brother. You're here to make me a better version of myself as a brother. Sisters are here to encourage each other, to pray for one another, right? That means being okay with being vulnerable. But we have to allow people to speak life to us. On the flip side of that, God has put you around the people that you are, that you know, that you are friends with, that you are family with, so you can speak life to them. Does that make sense? Because we need each other. So it's okay if you make yourself feel a little bit vulnerable. It's okay, right? Everybody feels that way. You know what is one of the biggest lies? That some people feel like, oh, that person is so comfortable in their own skin. They're like, that's all a lie. Everybody is insecure. You just need to recognize that as you're walking in to say, you know what? I'm not the only one who has doubts. I'm not the only one who feels insecure. I'm not the only one who doesn't feel competent. I'm not the only one. That's the enemy lying to you. If you can just say that everybody's walking around with the same insecurities you have, you'd feel a lot better. You'd have a lot more peace. Amen? Because that's a lie from the enemy. And just remind yourself that God loves you already. Their like is optional. That was a little bit of a Facebook play too. Or Instagram. Is it heart on the Instagram? It's heart, see? God hearts you already. Number two. The other thing we take away from this passage is that Jesus Christ must be the cornerstone of your life. Jesus Christ must be the cornerstone of your life. In 1 Peter 2:6, it says, for in the scripture it says, I lay a stone in Zion, chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You can't build a spiritual house if you don't have Jesus. You can't, right? The cornerstone, historically, you guys know, is what? It was built by architects and builders, was used it, and it was the very first stone that was laid. And it had to be straight. Because if it wasn't straight, what happens to the rest of your building? Pointing in the wrong direction, or it's crooked. Right? So it has to be straight this way. And it also has to be level, right? Because if you build up on that cornerstone, what happens to your wall? You have to lean over, right? And so that was... It takes a lot of time to build that, but Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. And again, the cornerstone determined that the entire structure was held together based on how you laid that first stone. Now, if Jesus Christ isn't our cornerstone, man, we already know. We try to build it on all kinds of different things, huh? Try to build it on our own strengths and abilities, our own talents. Some of us, when we were younger, on our own good looks, not so much no more, you know. All that stuff fades, amen? Man, you guys are sleepy. You guys need some more coffee, Stephen? We're going to have a little, that's going to be a new service. We'll go around with a little cart. Coffee? Wake you guys up a little bit, amen? maybe a little rock star, a little monster. I'm telling you, we're visionaries in this church. No, but Jesus needs to be the cornerstone, right? Because unless Jesus is at the center of it and we align everything with Jesus, it's not going to make sense. Our life is going to fall apart. In fact, there's testimony after testimony within this room that will tell you that you tried to do it on your own. Like, I've tried to do it on my own. I tried to do my own. You know, I'm not a good builder, but I was trying to build my own life and it was not. Maybe I was getting some wins, right? How many of you guys get those little like building blocks when you're a kid and before you know it, you start to build a tower, you're like, oh, it's starting to fall over, right? And then you're trying to, don't let it fall, like the big old Duplo Legos, remember those? That's our life. We might get like a couple of blocks up and we're like, I'm doing good, look at me. But before you know it, right, your life, you're like, what the heck happened? Everything's falling apart around me. When Jesus is at the center of it and we align our lives around what he says, right? Then we find stability and peace and strength and harmony and joy in the things that we do. And even when the storms come, as we start to build, it's like, you know what? I got Jesus as my rock. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws my way. I have strength. I have victory in him already. When the enemy comes with his lies and attacks, it's like, get out of here. Go kick rocks, enemy. Got Jesus right here. But it's important that he must be the cornerstone of our life. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves today, right, is what are we building our life upon right now? Is it built on Jesus Christ? Is it built on our faith in him? Or are we trying to build it around something else? Our job, our education, our relationship with somebody, whatever. We think that that's going to make us whole, right? And it doesn't. It doesn't. Only Jesus makes us whole. Only Jesus makes us whole. The third thing we take away from today's passage is where Peter is telling the people, right, that you are a chosen people with a special purpose. You're a chosen people with a special purpose. Now, I've told you guys this before. You know, when I was younger, back in the day, they were mean, and they would pick all their friends when you were getting picked for, like, baseball or dodgeball or whatever it was. And if you were, like, you know, sometimes I was the second to the last guy picked. I'd be like, man, this guy's, like, chubby. I can run faster than him. Like, pick me, you know? But he's my friend. And then I'd be last. Oh. Oh. Come on, everybody. Oh. See? Did you feel better? No, but it's not fun not being chosen, right? Feels good to be chosen. Peter's saying, hey, you're already chosen. Number one, you're chosen by God. Not only are you chosen, but I have a special task that only you can do. I have a special assignment. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like if Jesus walked in right now, right? And he's like, hey, are you Joey, Stephen, Grace? I got a special job just for you. And if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. How would you feel? She's like, what is it, right? Let me get to the task. I'm about it right now. I'm going to drop everything I'm doing because Jesus is here. Amen? That's what Jesus is saying right here in the scripture to the passage. He's saying, you are a chosen people. But here's the part that you might not like. It says, you are a royal priesthood. You're like, royal priesthood? I'm not Pope Leo. That's another guy. A royal priesthood? What is that? It just means that you're set apart to do God's work. Right? On Friday, we met with the men and we talked about, like, listen, God has appointed you to be the spiritual leader of your home. Right? Don't sleep on that task, right? God has chosen us for that. That's an amazing responsibility that he's given us. And so as believers, it comes with, listen, it can't just be like Jesus gave his life on the cross, that we have salvation and we're like, oh, I'm saved. Praise God. Jesus loves me, right? During worship, I clap real good. I wash the windows. But it's just me and Jesus. No, yes, worship him like that. But guess what? When you're loved like that, it comes with a responsibility. When you're loved like that, it means that we need to be acting. Like we need to respond to it, right? It's not just that you just take it. You want to be that guy that or gal that just takes from Jesus? You know people like that in your life? You do know people like that in your life. Do you like being around them? No, right? So we can't expect, honestly, you've heard me say it. When we planted this church, it was just about an overflow and abundance of gratitude for what Jesus has done, right? And we want people to experience the wholeness of who Jesus is. Not because, like, you know, oh, I think they planted that church because I think Pastor Michael likes to sing, right? He likes to think, he thinks he's Phil Wickham up there. Every other song is a Phil Wickham song. Can we please put something else, another kind of worship? It's, you know, okay, we're taking requests too. But it's not about that, right? It's about an abundance of gratitude that we have for what Jesus has done for us. And so when we read that passage, sometimes we see it's like, oh man, a royal priesthood, that's not me, that's Pastor Michael. No, you're part of the body. Jesus died for you. You have a responsibility. Amen? And now he's saying that you're a royal priesthood, right? Let's see, it's in verse 9. It says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're God's special possession. that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Amen? Man, just read that. You're God's special possession. Isn't that awesome? You know, when somebody's talking bad about you at work or whatever, it's like, get out of here. I'm God's special possession. Get out of here. You know? But you're chosen with a special purpose. And it's for us what? It says there in verse 9. You've been called out of darkness into His wonderful light. But before that, it says that you may declare the praises of Him. Our existence, right, is to glorify God, to praise Him, to bring the goodness, right? Listen, we sang that song, Heaven, God's will be done, right? Heaven as it is on heaven. Jesus did that. Jesus, His goodness in heaven came down to earth. And when He talks about His will be done, that salvation comes down, right? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, 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 right? Heaven has come down. The Holy Spirit is here. When we sing that song, it should mean more than just like the Lord's Prayer is like, well, thy will be done, as on earth it is in heaven. That's us. That's our invitation to say, do your part to do God's will on earth, like in heaven, through the Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying. You're God's chosen people for a special person. We're saved, right? Not just from sin, but we're saved to do something. To build and to reflect God's glory. Amen? Number four. And this one, you know, how many of you guys are like, this is, my house is not a museum. It's lived in. We probably I keep telling myself, we need to do like a little, what's that girl? The Mary Kondo, yeah, I need to do that. That's me. But how many of you guys are like, you guys are a little bit of a hoarder? Yeah? Some of you guys? Yeah, I am. You know, it is what it is. I'll stop. My wife's like, better stop. She gave me the sign. But no, number four might challenge us because what it says is we need to let go of what doesn't belong in the house. We need to let go of what doesn't belong in the house. How many of you guys have stuff in your house that doesn't belong in your house? And you're like, what is this doing in here? This needs to get out of here. Like, get this out of here. Like, you know. Amen. But that's a little different because, we go back to verse 1. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. That means that if you're being built up by God and now you're His chosen possession and you're a royal priesthood, it says you can't have nothing to do with all this stuff. Envy, slander, malice. What else does it say? Hypocrisy, deceit. Man. Those are not good adjectives to describe a believer, right? Those are not things that you want attached to your name. People say your name, and not like Beyonce, but when people say your name, we want them to say good things. I can't help myself. We want them to say good things, like, hey, oh man, that's a great sister, that's a good brother, man. When I need him, he's there, he's dependable, he's a hard worker, he's loyal, he's kind, fruits of the Spirit, right? We don't want them to see like, oh man, that guy, that girl, she's deceitful. I can't stand when she comes around because, oh, she's such a hypocrite. That's how people talk too. They hold them out like when they gossip, right? They want nobody to see. They're like football. Like somebody might be seeing the place. Oh, that person, they're so envious. Every time where'd you get that? Slander of every kind. What? Talking bad, talking trash. We should have nothing to do with those things, right? We should have fruits of the Spirit. So those type of things, man, we got to let them go. If we struggle, and you know what? Here's the thing. Yes, we have the flesh, constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit, right? But we got to keep, right, hacking that thing down. Yesterday, my brother Stephen came over, and I told him, I said, hey, we were pulling weeds, getting ready to roll some carpet out of my house, some grass. And we were pulling the weeds. I said, man, this is like a sermon right here. This weed is like a sin. No matter how many times it keeps trying to come, I got to keep, you know. And we have this little, I use the, right, Matthew, you saw it? It's like a Grim Reaper's hook I use to pull the weeds. And Matthew's like, what's that for? In case somebody tries to break into the house. No, but life is like that, right? It means that, hey, if we struggle a little bit with, you know, you might struggle with envy. You might struggle with, you know, anger. You might struggle with pride. You might struggle with these things. That doesn't mean, but it says, as much as you can, you got to fight that thing. Like yesterday when we were fighting those weeds. Get out of here. Right? Because once it's in there, once it takes root, it takes a lot, right? We got to keep fighting that. So yesterday I concocted this. I got a TikTok thing or whatever. I got vinegar and salt and soap. And then I still put weed killer in there because I'm like, I'm going to spray these weeds. I don't want none of this. That's how we have to approach sin in our life. I don't want none of this. I'm not only going to use the official brand stuff. I'm going to throw more stuff on top to kill it. That's how much we should hate sin in our life. Because we know what it does what? It robs us of our joy. Creates separation between us and God. And definitely separation between the people we love. Amen? So we got to let go of what doesn't belong in the house. Now, brothers, if you got the elbow during when I said that, and they're trying to say, you better move the whatever out of, sorry. Your wife may have biblical support for you to clean that area. I'm guilty. I'm the first one. But rid yourself of all those things. And that means that, yeah, we need to do a spiritual house cleaning. Feels good, right? Doesn't it feel good when you do a spiritual house cleaning? It's like when you clean, you're like, oh, that looks good. Smells good. Smells like fabuloso. Smells clean. I was like, oh, man, it's good now. We could do something here. But when it's not, like we have teenagers, and I walk into the bedroom, so I was like, man, what? Open the window. Like, you know? Anyway. You should see the look my daughter just gave me. Number five, the fifth takeaway is that building without God is empty and useless. Building without God is empty and useless. And we're going to read that. And we're going to see the scripture to match that in Psalm 127. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those that he loves. Amen? Amen. So if we don't build it, right? Unless the Lord is building it, it doesn't matter. It's useless. It's empty. It's useless and empty. And again, I said it earlier, right? Our testimonies without God, many of us have gone and we've tried. We try to kingdom build and only to come to find out that after you achieve all those milestones that people said that were going to make you whole and complete, you still felt anger, you still felt empty, you still felt like you had no purpose or meaning. Only Jesus gives us that. So, we need to build, right, what God wants us to build. And we want Him to build our house. We want Jesus to be the cornerstone. And we want Him to guide our direction. And so as we go today, right, maybe reflect to say, what am I doing, right? What do I need to do daily? Am I surrendering every day to God? Am I asking for His will to be done in my life, or I'm trying to do it on my own? Are we obeying, right? Not only are we in the Word, but are we obeying what it says? Right? How many of you as parents, you ask your kids to do something and they're like, they go and they turn around and do the exact opposite thing. How does that make you feel? Mad, I'll get the bell. Whoa. Throw a shoe? Throw a chancla, somebody said? Man. Here's a shoe. it doesn't make you feel good, right? It's like, man, do you know like the sacrifice that I have to provide for you, to care for you? And then you turn around and act like that? How about when God, right, gives the ultimate sacrifice on the cross? And he says, "This, I'm asking you to do these things. And it's not because I want something from you. This is to bless you. Right? This is because I want you to live the full life in Christ." So we need to make sure that we're obeying his word. We need to make sure that we're praying over our plans and that God is in the middle of it. Whether we're praying for our family, our jobs, whatever, school, finances, we got to invite him in. And like we said earlier, we got to commit to doing it in community. Right? You can't do this thing alone. You're fooling yourself if you think that you got it all down. Jesus, when he was here and he was the Son of God, he was still rolling with 11 of his homies. Right? Rolling with... I'm just saying, like, Jesus wasn't alone when he was doing ministry. He had people. Now, one of them was a scoundrel. So if you got one friend like that, get him out. Kick him out. Have nothing to do with that guy or gal. But you can't do this alone. And then again, if Jesus isn't the cornerstone, we're wasting. It's not going to happen. Jesus has to be the cornerstone of our life. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you again, Lord, for being who you are. You are God. You're amazing. You're awful, awesome. You're the creator of the universe. Lord, I always think about how even in heaven right now, there's millions of angels just glorifying you. And some of them just singing, and the other ones covering their face because you're too holy, you're too good. It just makes me reflect on how good you are to us. You are so good. Father God, thank you again for the message out of 1 Peter today, Lord, that you are inviting us to build up your kingdom, Lord God. But first, we have to build our house through Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that when we make you the cornerstone, that, Lord, you start to set our path straight and level. And then that we can, you allow us, Lord, you're asking us, Lord, to do our part to build up the kingdom. You invite us as a chosen people, your special possession, to declare your glory. So, Father God, right now, Lord, as we go through and we're praying, Lord, if there's areas where we need to have a spiritual house cleaning, Lord, reveal it to us. Reveal it to us right now. There's an area where we need to just double down and just do an extra, surrender that to you. And because oftentimes in our own flesh, we won't be able to overcome that. But Lord, your word tells us that we can do all things through you, Lord Jesus. But we have to give it to you first. So Father God, help us to give whatever is entangling us, Lord God. We all have propensities and proclivities to certain types of behavior and conduct and sin. And Lord God, we don't need that in our life, Lord God. We know that wages of sin is death. We want life, a life to the full with you, Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord God, to build our life upon you. Or if there's something that, again, we need to root out, do it. It might hurt, but it's for our own good. There's relationships, Lord God, that aren't of you. Root those out. Pull them out. Lord God, we don't want to miss the calling that we have because we're distracted, Lord God. We want to be useful for you, Lord God. Not because we're saved by our deeds, but just because that's the proof of what you've done, Lord. You've transformed our heart. So help us to continue to build on you, Lord God. And Father God, we know that if we try to build it on our own and you are not there and you're not building it up, it's all in vain. It's useless, Lord God. So help us to build up things that have eternal value. To store up
treasures in heaven, Lord God, not here on earth. Where the enemy and people come to rob, steal, and kill, Lord God. But no, with you, Lord Jesus, we have victory. With you, we can build things in eternity, Lord God. So help us to be intentional as well to share the good news of who you are, Lord Jesus. Help us to invite, to pray over people that don't know who you are, Lord God. And also, help us to be plugged into the body of believers, Lord. We can't build this on our own. We don't want to be the sole brick that is laying on top of Jesus. That's not being useful to build up the body. And so help us to be okay to check in with people. To be okay when somebody reaches out to be honest and say, you know, I am struggling right now. Thank you. Let's talk about it. Let's pray. Let's get into the scriptures. You can't do this alone. We weren't meant to do it alone. So thank you, Lord Jesus. You have invited us, Lord, to this amazing journey. Number one, the gift of salvation. Number two, to walk alongside with you. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be used by you, Lord God, to glorify the triune God. Lord, you continue to be with us, Lord God. We don't want to be apart from you. So shape us into those living stones, Lord God. Help us to continue to be aligned to Christ in love and in unity. And help us to build again for your kingdom. Lord, watch over us, guide us, Lord God, and keep us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.